Charming, I smile, tapping his cheek until he faces me. And kind. You think of everyone but yourself, which is why you need yoga, I wink. Want to know my favorite thing about you?
No, this is starting to make me uncomfortable.
He cringes. I don't care, I whisper, teasing him. Besides seeing you naked and being on the receiving end of your smile, my favorite thing about you is how smart you are and how passionate you are about the things that matter to you. He huffs, clearly embarrassed, and looks away.
Do you want to know what my favorite thing is about you? It might surprise you.
He says, tapping my nose.
It's not how insanely gorgeous you are or how good you are at your job. Or how I can talk to you about anything and you know a little something about it.
My cheeks flush and I try to look away, but he doesn't let me. Instead, he holds my gaze in place and smiles.
My favorite thing about you is your heart.
He says it so simply, so matter-of-factly that it takes a second to process it.
At first, when you would ask me how I am in the morning or if I needed something before you left work, I'd assume it was part of your role here. But I've come to learn you really are asking. You really do care if I'm okay.
And if not, I'll bring you a soda and a protein bar, I say, nestling my head against his chest as the warmth of the fire snuggles me in.
I love that you care, Mallory, and it comes from such a good place. You don't ask because you want something from me, just like Donnie tonight. You were worried he was upset. That's pretty incredible.
That's called having a heart.
That's called being a lady.
He wraps his other hand around me, fastening them at my hip.
This is nice.
Mm-hmm, I say, unfastening a couple of buttons on his shirt and slipping my hand inside. His tight chest, rough and warm, sends a blast of energy right through me. You know what?
What's that?
I thought you were going to say your favorite thing about me was my punctuality. He laughs, and I can feel the reverberation in my hand. His heart quickens.
No, but I could have said something else.
Like what?
Like the feel of your pussy wrapped around my cock.
His words, coupled with the grit in his tone, makes me weak. As he stretches back, I can see the bulge in his pants, and I know right or wrong, ready or not, I'm going to come. I know what you mean, I say, skimming my palm down his chest and cupping him. I love the way my body stretches as you put the tip of your... Before I can finish my sentence, I'm flipped on my back. Graham hovers over me, his eyes dancing with mischief. Chapter 19. Mallory. Graham's tongue darts out, skimming his bottom lip. He's pinning me against the love seat with a hand on either side of my face.
You drive me crazy,
he says, narrowing his eyes.
I try so hard to be on my best behavior around you, and you just whittle me down. Every fucking time.
Well, I tease, wrapping my legs around his waist. I think your best behavior is subjective.
You know what I mean.
And you know what I mean. My heels locked at his back. I squeeze my thighs around his waist and pull him closer to me. His lips hover over mine, but they don't touch.
What exactly do you mean, Mallory?
I wind my fingers in his hair and tug gently. I mean, this is the Graham I like best. I like seeing you like this.
Struggling to keep myself together?
Exactly. Lifting my head, I flick my tongue against his lips. I can feel the heat of his mouth, the taste of his desire. Don't try so hard, I whisper.
It's futile anyway,
he says. I barely hear the words as he pulls back.
Stand up.
He climbs off the love seat, stripping off his shirt.
Now.
My stomach clenching at the intensity in his eyes, I'm on my feet before I realize I've moved.
Take your dress off. Everything. I want you completely naked.
The air brushes against my skin as the linen covering my body pools at my feet. As I step out, I watch Graham and almost gasp. He's standing in front of me, cock in his hand, watching my every move.
Bra. Off.
With a shaky hand, I unclasp the back and throw it at him. He catches it and presses it to his face. Now what? I stand before him, not a thing on my skin. My hair drapes around my shoulders. And despite the fact that I'm standing completely naked outside under the watchful eye of this sexy CEO, I don't feel a bit nervous, just admired. That feels better than any orgasm, any accomplishment, any nice words ever spoken to me. Graham sits again, his legs spread. He's in complete control, managing the situation not with words or power, but with his eyes. That's all it takes. He strokes his cock up and down, all the while not breaking eye contact with me. The flames of the fire dance beside us, the heat tickling my chilled skin.
"Come here,"
he instructs. I take the few steps to him, but before he can say anything more, I drop to my knees.
"Mallory."
Gripping his cock at the base, I look him dead in the eye and flick my tongue against the head. His chin lifts, the muscles in his neck flexing as I stroke his length, letting my tongue trail down his shaft. He clutches the armrest, his arms tensing and giving me some serious arm porn. I can feel the knot in my core igniting faster than I can attempt to control it, burning hotter with every minute. I pull his swollen head into my mouth, sucking it like a lollipop. He growls, lifting his hips in reaction. I take him as deep as I can, then pull him out to the tip, flicking it with my tongue.
"Oh, fuck, Mallory."
Taking his balls in my other hand, I squeeze them just enough to let him know I have them. As I pump him into my mouth, I feel him harden even more as my hand slides up and down him. He's so thick I can barely get my entire hand around him. Although my body screams for attention, my clit pulses between my legs. Watching him react to me is worth the torture. His eyes squeezed shut, his frame trembling under my control. It's unbelievable. Just as I find the tempo I know will have him losing control, he reaches forward and takes my face in his hands. He guides me away, his cock making a popping sound as it releases from my mouth. Falling back on my heels, I wipe my mouth with the back of my hand. Why did you stop me? I ask, catching my breath.
I'm not getting off in your mouth. Stand up.
As I get to my feet, he rustles in his pants behind me. I hear the tear of a package. When I turn around, I see him rolling a condom down himself. I flash him a confused look because we didn't use one last time.
I always use a rubber,
he says.
You caught me off guard last time.
He tosses the wrapper on the coffee table.
Now bend over the love seat. I want your ass up in the air.
Climbing up, I rest my arms over the back of the love seat. The wicker bites into my arms, widening my knees and tilting my hips up. I feel the chill of the air on my heated pussy. Looking behind me, I see Graham standing a few inches away.
I could look at this all day every day.
He puts a hand on the globe of my ass.
This is perfect.
He smacks it lightly, just enough to sting. When I yelp, he laughs.
Just a warning. Sometimes people are out on the golf course at night walking their dogs. They can't see us. That, I promise. But they can hear us. You might want to keep it down.
He snickers, getting behind me and wrapping an arm around to my front. One finger touches my clit and I gasp.
Or not.
His cock slides into me in one swift thrust. Oh my God. I bend forward, my hands winding over the wicker. My hair falling to one side, I lean back against him. He pulls almost completely out and then pushes all the way inside me again. Fuck, Graham. Do that again. He does. Once. Twice. Three times. By the fourth time, I've moved my hips so the tip of his cock hits my G-spot perfectly. He's so damn hard, so solid, that every penetration is almost an action itself. One hand digs into my hip, the other reaches around me, applying pressure to my throbbing clit. My God, I groan through clenched teeth.
What do you want, Mallory? Do you like this?
He pushes into me harder.
Is that what you want, baby? You want me to fuck you so hard you can't think of anything else?
My breasts bounce, my head dipped as I push back onto him. He growls behind me. The intensity of his thrusts coupled with the expertise of his fingers, its sensation overload. Ah! I cry, leaning back. Working my knees farther apart so he can go even deeper, I think it can't get any more intense, until he works one hand to my nipple and presses it roughly between his fingers. This is amazing. The words are almost incoherent. Even I can barely hear them over the sound of our bodies and the white noise bounding through my ears. But I do hear the voice from somewhere past the pines.
Is that you, Landry?
A male's voice projects from the area on the other side of the tree line, where the golf course is. Ah! I gasp, covering my breast with my arm. Graham pushes it away with a chuckle, not breaking stride.
Don't.
He whispers against my ear, picking up his pace.
Is that you, Paul? Yeah, how are you?
He wraps an arm around my front and pulls me up so that my back is against his chest. He leans us both forward just enough to perfect the angle. My nipples harden as the air tickles them, and the exhilaration of the man's voice sounds again. I can't see him, but he sounds so close, and I wonder if he can see me. Graham doesn't seem to care. He just continues to drive himself into my body and bring me closer to the peak.
I'm good,
Graham says. His voice so controlled, you never know what he was doing.
How are you?
I didn't hear the response. My body bounces on Graham's cock, his hands roaming my body, demanding contact. I wrap my arms up and around his neck and arch my back, needing the release that is so close that I can taste it. His lips find the crook of my neck and he kisses me, nibbling the soft skin behind my ear. That does it. Graham, I mutter, cradling my breast with one arm. I can't stop this.
Let go, baby,
he whispers. He drives into me, hitting the spot I love like he's done this a million times. I hear his voice calling goodbye to his neighbor while my world spins wildly out of control. Shit, I cry, biting my lip to keep from calling out too loud. My body tenses around his cock, squeezing it as I feel my body shake. My knees go weak, threatening to collapse. Graham's arm winds around my waist and holds me up, his fingertips searing into my skin. Oh my God! Trembling as the orgasm hits me in full force, I feel his lips against my neck.
Damn it, Mallory.
He groans.
Fuck.
He shudders against my back, his cock pulsing as he finds his mark. There's no way to see his face, and I hate that I can't watch him, see what I do to him. As I struggle to catch my breath, I feel a single light kiss press against the skin right behind my ear.
You good?
He whispers. Yes, I breathe, getting my wits about me. The air seems colder now, my body so much more exposed. Without even seeing my expression, he seems to know what I need.
Let's get you inside and cleaned up.
He scoops up our clothes, takes my hand, and leads me in the back door. Chapter 20. Mallory. From the vantage point of the sofa, I watch Graham work in the kitchen. He moves so fluidly, completely at home as he makes us a drink. On one hand, I feel like I know him so well. But when I think about it, I really know nothing at all. The fact I want to know more leaves me a little uneasy. He looks over his shoulder, the muscles in his neck flexing as he pours a drink. The soft gray pants he's changed into sit right below his navel, and he's shirtless and shoeless.
What?
He grins, coming towards me with a wine glass and a tumbler. Do you cook?
That's random.
He chuckles. No, it's not. You are in the kitchen. Kitchens are where food is made. You are sexy. Men in kitchens are sexy.
Really? I had no idea.
Trust me, I laugh. So, do you? He hands me the glass and keeps the tumbler. Staying standing, he looks at me like I'm a touch crazy.
Sometimes. I don't cook much. Too much goes to waste. I do have a cedar plank I use to make salmon sometimes. It's really good.
I don't like fish.
You don't like fish?
Yeah, I think it's because I'm a Pisces. I wince.
That makes no sense.
He chuckles.
I also make crepes. Do you have any strange aversions to eggs or gluten?
Nope, I say. I love all things butter, eggs, and gluten. It's a part of my balance thing. I eat all the terrible things and then do yoga.
I thought you went to yoga for stress.
I look at him blankly. I do. He laughs, shaking his head, then taking a sip of his drink.
What about you? Do you cook?
I try, I admit. I like to bake. You know, with
Butter,
butter,
eggs,
eggs,
and
and gluten,
gluten.
we say in unison before laughing. Our voices meld together in the air between us. It's a delicious feeling, warm and cozy, even better than I imagined it would be. Pulling my legs up and under me, I watch him in the light of the fireplace.
I bet your kitchen is a wreck.
He says,
I've seen your desk, and there are no liquids. I can only imagine you in a kitchen.
"Yeah, it gets a little wild. Want to cook with me sometime?"
No, I do not. I would never survive that with how messy you are.
He jokes. I'm staring. I know it. I know he knows it when he pulls his brows together and tosses me a questioning glance. "I was just thinking that I love looking at you like this."
In sleep pants?
He laughs.
Wow, I now officially have a complex about how I look in a suit.
"You rock a suit like no one else," I smile. "But this, it's so different. You look all cozy and casual. It shows that maybe there are more sides to you than the demanding CEO." I wink. He sits next to me, fresh from the shower we took together. Sinking into the leather, he lays one arm along the back of the sofa.
I think you know there's more to me than that.
"I do, but I feel like you keep so much of yourself closed off and your nose to the grindstone. Why?" His features wash in a look that tells me he was expecting this question or one similar. It also tells me two other things. He's prepared to answer it, but he doesn't want to. He doesn't right away. Taking a sip from his tumbler, he watches me over the rim. I expect he's giving me a chance to change the subject, to get antsy by the look in his eye. But I don't. It's time. Things between us keep building, and I don't know to what end.
I don't trust a lot of people.
He says finally. His tone is smooth, but I hear the grit behind it from the force he's using to make himself talk about a subject he doesn't want to broach.
It's hard for me to really open up beyond my family.
"But you have friends, right? And, you know, probably girlfriends sometimes." He grins, letting his hand fall to my thigh in some kind of comforting motion. I try not to blush.
I have more acquaintances than I do friends, I suppose. I mainly spend my time with one of my brothers or alone. I'd prefer it that way.
He pauses, smirking.
And yes, I have girlfriends sometimes, but those relationships are very particular.
I gulp, imagining red rooms and contracts. "What do you mean by that?"
Just,
He looks at the ceiling.
I don't spend time with a woman with the expectation or desire, if I'm honest, that it will become something routine.
Each word is said crisply without eye contact. Every syllable stings my heart. With each rip against the fabric of my most precious organ, it's obvious. I was hoping for more. Maybe I didn't realize it until now, but it's impossible to ignore the feeling in my stomach, the grinding, tumultuous movement in my soul. My spirits fall, the wine glass shaking in my hand, so I steady it with the other. I smile at him. I don't want him to see me looking dejected.
That being said, I really like spending time with you, Mallory. You really make this difficult for me.
"Well, since we're being honest and all," I say, looking at the darkness through the window and thinking, briefly, how it feels like my heart. "That makes things really difficult for me, too." Before he lifts his hand off my leg, he squeezes it. The spot he'd taken right above my knee feels utterly vacant as soon as his palm is gone.
Mallory, if I have.
"No," I cut him off. "You have never indicated you wanted anything more from me than professional performance from 7:59 to 5 o'clock. The rest of this was just a bonus. I don't expect anything from you." I say the words and I mean them, but they still hurt like a motherfucker. My butt scoots away from him just a bit and his eyebrows shoot to the ceiling, but he doesn't comment. "You say I make things difficult, but I don't want that, Graham. I'd never want to interfere with your work, with your family."
Mallory.
"No. We aren't at work, so I can put my foot down and make you hear me out."
Oh, like that matters.
He mumbles. I shrug. "If this gets too difficult or hard or weird, I want to stop it before it gets out of control. I like this, but,"
You don't like this more than I do.
he whispers.
I just keep things in boxes for a reason. Right now, they're a mess, and I can't handle messes.
"I hate this for you," I say honestly. "You must be so lonely."
Being alone is better than being in a relationship and making sacrifices you don't want to make, or having pressure put on you to choose between the other person and what drives you.
Who did that to you, Graham? The lines in his face move, and I see his surprise that I came out and just asked. Frankly, I'm surprised I came out and just asked, too. But I want to know. He sighs, and gets up and heads back in the kitchen. His shoulders are stiff as he fills his tumbler again, keeping his back to me as he quickly downs a good portion of the liquid. A ripple of panic bubbles up, and I'm not sure what to do. My purse is in his car with my phone, so I can't even call Joy to come and get me, but I feel like I should leave, that I've overstepped my boundary by asking. My mouth opens to issue an apology and an offer to just go when he turns back around. This time, I see that he's made up his mind. My wine glass rattles as I place it on a coaster on the table in front of the sofa. My breathing gets ragged as he gets closer. I'm unsure what he's going to do or say.
When I was in college,
he says, sitting on the edge of the sofa,
I wanted to go to law school. I thought it was the best way to help my dad's company, which was the only thing I ever wanted. Growing up, Barrett would go to the movies on the weekends or to a friend's house, and I'd go with Dad to the office and just soak it up. I loved the excitement, the power I felt sitting at the spare table and listening to his conversations.
He takes a deep breath, refusing to look at me.
I have everything laid out in front of me. I knew from 8th grade what I wanted to do and how I was going to get there. We had career day in middle school. We had to pick 4 professionals to go talk to. The other kids were picking the DJ and television guy and whatever. I picked the attorney 4 times.
He laughs, his voice a touch shaky. With a trembling hand, I let my palm rest against my knee. The corner of his mouth quivers, but doesn't quite turn up.
My freshman year of college, I met this guy. We had similar interests and started hanging out. We got an apartment together our sophomore year. It was the first time in my life I'd really kind of loosened up some, you know? It was fun.
He shrugs.
Second half of my junior year, I had a philosophy class. The first day, this woman walks in. She was a grad student filling in as a teaching assistant.
You don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, I say softly. The somberness on his face hurts my heart. Let's talk about something else.
No.
He clears his throat and looks at me, the greens of his eyes clear.
Her name was Vanessa. I fell in love with her that first day.
His admission is a shock to my heart, my hand slipping off his knee. He continues on despite registering my reaction.
I made a few passes, and within 3 weeks we were together. We'd meet after class at her apartment across town, or we'd spend the weekend at mine. We'd talk philosophy and politics, staying up all night debating free will and morality. It was the first time in my life that I met someone I thought really understood me, appreciated my, well, my brothers would say geekiness.
He forces a swallow, pain written all over his face, gazing off in the distance, like he's replaying the time in his mind. I sit back and struggle to contain my own emotions, emotions I can't pinpoint, but am acutely aware exist close to the surface.
We weren't supposed to be fucking around. We knew she could lose her position and maybe even her scholarship. But she was adamant, as was I, that we wanted to be together. So we continued. The entire semester. Each day got deeper, like stepping off a ledge with every tick of a clock. She wanted all my attention, got jealous when I would go home to see my family or my mom would call, or Dad would want me to help with the situation at Landry. It just became so much bigger than I could handle. I constantly felt like I had to choose between her and my other obligations. And no matter what I chose, someone was pissed off. I didn't want to let anyone down.
His eyes darken, his hands locking together in front of him.
Then one night, it was late and we'd been drinking more than we should have. It was pouring down rain and her apartment was closer, so we decided to just head there for the night. We'd never stayed there on a weekend,
he says, his jaw pulsing.
In the morning, her husband walks in.
No! I gasp, my hand finding his thigh again.
I had no idea, Mallory. None.
My mouth hangs open as I both try to process what he said and the look on his face. I've never seen Graham angry before, but this is so severe, I'm almost scared,
Word got out.
he says, spitting the words.
And she was exposed. Apparently, I wasn't the only one she was with. Her husband, who worked out of town all week, hence why we never went to her house on the weekends, hung her out to dry with the department.
She deserved that,
Maybe.
he says.
So all this is going down, and she's still calling me, telling me she wants to be with me. She loves me. I was her soulmate. She wants to marry me, have my babies. That shit, you know?
He hisses.
I was so messed up over this girl that I was going to give her a chance to explain. I just wanted so badly for it to be real.
His jaw clenches, the muscle in his face pulsing.
Imagine my shock when I went to her house and realized she was gone.
Graham, I gush, wishing he'd look at me. I'm so sorry. I want to pull him into my arms. I have to hold myself back from reaching for him.
I nearly flunked out the next semester. I couldn't find her. I thought she was dead or something. It was the worst period of my entire life. My parents thought the world had fallen apart. They were wanting me to go to therapy, threatening to pull me out of school altogether. I just couldn't function. I was a complete puss.
What were you supposed to feel? Look what she did to you, I say, hating this woman for putting this look on his face. That shit is hard, Graham, especially when you're going through it the first time and it's that dramatic.
She nearly ruined my life, and that's just putting it mildly. She fucked up my school situation, my relationships with my family. Everything was ripped out from under me in a few months' time, while she vanished, not bothering to give me the courtesy of letting me know she was alive. Until a few months later, with a letter and no return address.
He smiles sadly.
I'd rather be alone than be in that situation ever again.
He reaches across the sofa and tucks a stray strand of hair behind my ear.
I look at you and think what a good girl you are. When I'm with you, I just want to stay there forever. When I'm not with you, I want to be.
Tears tickle my eyes because I know there's more coming. The epic life ruiner. The butt that is on the tip of his tongue.
But I can't be Mallory.
He lifts my chin so I have to look at him. His face is so handsome, so tender that I nearly can't breathe.
Since then, I've made a plan on how to deal with things before they creep up. I have contingencies for contingencies, so I'm not in a place to make a decision based off emotions.
He smiles softly.
I don't know how to manage whatever this is between us. There's no blueprint for this, and every experience I have with it tells me to end it now. But I can't.
He whispers. Words are lost to me as I lose myself in his eyes. There's so much to the depths, pain, sadness, hope. My heart is torn in my chest because I don't know what to do. The confusion over how to respond, what words to piece together, leaves me speechless. He tugs at his hair, his head buried in his hands.
I hate feeling this way.
Don't, I say, grabbing his wrist. You were honest with me. You just told me something you didn't have to, and something that was obviously not easy to say.
I've never talked about it out loud like that.
He wraps my hand in his and brings it to his lips. He doesn't kiss it, just holds it there.
But I wanted you to know what you were dealing with.
Dealing with? I say, scooting closer to him. You're a man that's had his heart broken. I've had mine broken too. I get it. It hurts. He drops my hand and smiles more beautifully than I've ever seen from him before.
I hope you find love someday. I hope you find some guy that thinks of you the way I do.
His grin falters.
I hope he can give you what you need back.
I look away, unable to see the look on his face and deal with the emotions swirling on mine. Just knowing that he thinks of me the way I think of him, yet can't, won't go forward, breaks my already shattered heart. I think I should go home now, I say, needing space.
I'll get your jacket.
He takes my hand and pulls me to my feet. As I turn to walk away, he hauls me in his arms and holds me close. His heart strums steadily in his chest, the smell of his cologne dancing over my senses. When he pulls back, I know things won't quite be the same between us.
You ready?
Let's go. Chapter 21, Mallory. The lemon slice drops into the tea, creating a ripple on the surface. I wonder how far down the undulation goes, if it goes as deep as what I feel from tonight. "Come in," I shout when I hear the knock at the door. I wait for Joy's face to come around the corner, and when it does, I feel a little relief. "I came with brownies," she says. A white box from the grocery store is plopped on the coffee table. "What happened to you? You look like shit." "Gee, thanks," I sigh. "I'm fine," her brows raise. "I don't think that's true." I give her a look of warning as I take a hesitant sip of my tea. I didn't mean to alert her to my demise when she called as soon as I walked in the door. I guess it was somewhat obvious. "Want to tell me what's wrong?" she asks. "No." "Mallory!" I take a deep breath. "Graham and I had dinner tonight," she squeals, curling up in the second-hand chair next to the sofa. If she's concerned about what the material might do to her name-brand shirt, she doesn't mention it, for once. Then we ran back to his house to grab some files. We fucked. Then he basically told me, as carefully and as sweetly as possible, that we would never be anything. "Okay, then," she gulps, slowly uncrossing her legs. "That doesn't sound sweet. Thank you for fucking me, now go home." "No, not like that," I recount more closely the events of the evening. "You know, I didn't really think that there would be anything between us. I mean, I didn't set out for that to happen. He was just a walking checklist of all the things I'd want in a man, and he wanted me on his desk, in his office, in front of his neighbor." She fans herself. "Ugh, I'm so turned on by that." "Stop," I say, shaking my head. "I don't even know why I'm so saddened by his admission. I had no reason to think anything else." "But it's natural that you hoped, Mal, or at least entertained the idea. Wouldn't anyone? He's leading you on, screwing you." "He really didn't lead me on," I admit. "He never said anything other than an occasional direction to remove my clothes, which I so happily did," I sigh, taking another sip. She taps her pink, perfectly manicured finger against her lips. I hate the way she looks at me, like I'm some kind of project or a lesser woman because I'm struggling in every department of my life. "You know what? Forget it," I tell her. "I'll figure it out." "Nope, not that easy," she says. "You have to decide what's best for you." "Yeah, but I don't know what's best for me." She catches my gaze. "Yes, you do." My head falls back, my eyes shut. "She's right, and I hate it. I do know what's best for me. That's the little niggle in my gut, the reminder to listen to logic and not my heart, and certainly not my vagina." "Put your 2 weeks in," she suggests softly. "File it with human resources and not him, so he can't just do what he wants and veto what he doesn't like," I offer. "Yeah, that. File your notice and come work with me. I have some pull, you know." She winks. "Or go to LA with Sienna. Mal, you're single, young, gorgeous. There's no reason you have to stay here. Do something that your soul tells you to." I laugh. "Whoa, wait, when did you get deep?" "What?" she blushes. "Do something your soul tells you to? Really, Joy?" "It was on a card at the pharmacy," she shrugs. "I liked it." Taking a deep breath, I set my tea on the table. I don't know what my soul tells me to do. I just want things to be okay. I can't tell Joy the rest of the truth, that I hope Graham is okay too. My heart breaks for him. I worry that he's hurt or sad, and I wish I could show him how great he is and how capable he is of more than just being a CEO. Although he listens to me sometimes, I know he wouldn't listen to that. She opens the box of brownies and hands me one. It's gooey and soft, and the icing almost runs off the end. After getting herself one, she holds it in the air. I clink mine against it. "Sucks being an adult, doesn't it?" she asks, her mouth sticking together with chocolate. "Yeah, it certainly does." We sit for a while, Joy eating brownies and me watching her. I'm not hungry. And even though chocolate binging is how girls deal with things, it doesn't seem appealing. I don't need emotional support. I need answers. Solutions. The fact that I realize this is empowering. Joy leaves, promising to check on me tomorrow. I lock the door and wind up at my computer. The email from the university is still in my inbox. With slight hesitation, I click on it again. The form is at the bottom to apply for enrollment. It sits there, luring me in with the promise of excitement and possibility. I could be done in a couple of years. Most of my generals are done and transferable, and I know I qualify for student loans. I remember Graham's words, that I have potential. Is he right? I know I could do it if I had him to ask questions, but I may not have him at all, in any capacity. A fleeting feeling falls over my soul. My spirits fall, my excitement dampening, as I know what I'm going to have to do. There's only one answer that's logical when it comes to Graham. At least I can see it now. Fuck it, I say, filling out the interest form and clicking submit before I can stop myself.
Graham. Ford's face lights up as he recounts a story of giving a child a soccer ball somewhere on the other side of the planet. His tale is interesting, but watching him light up like I've never seen him before is the best part of it all. He would come up to us every time we saw him and say, "Thank you," he says, leaning back in his chair. It was really gratifying. Well, look who it is. We look up to see Barrett walk in the kitchen of the farm, Huxley on his heels. He pulls Ford into a quick hug and then smacks me on the back. "What's happening in here?" "We were discussing the security company," I say. "There's more to do with this than there was your fucking campaign." "Just think," Barrett jokes. "You would be bored out of your mind without us." "Or sane," I mutter.
"Hi, Graham. Hi, Ford."
Huxley, the well-mannered kid that he is, waits his turn to talk. He dashes to Ford's side. Lincoln has always been Huxley's favorite, but after spending a few days fishing with Ford while his mom and Barrett did political things in Atlanta, I hate to tell Link that he has competition.
"Want to go see if the fish are biting?"
Huxley asks. "Hey, Hux, Ford is working with Graham today," Barrett says, ruffling his hair. "True," Ford calls, shoving his chair back. "But fishing is way more fun than talking to Graham. Let's go see what we can get into, buddy." As they walk out, Ford leans into Barrett and whispers just loud enough for me to hear. "Your turn to deal with him. Graham has a stick up his ass today." "Fuck off," I chuckle. But he's not all wrong. I had to leave the office today because I couldn't stand the proximity. Not because I wanted to be away from her. Because I wanted to be inside her. I wanted to scoop her up and listen to her laugh and hear her yoga stories and watch her face bunch up as she thinks of a response to something I've said. Everything about this is impossible. I watched her pull away from the office last night after dropping her off. Her taillights dimmed as she vanished around the corner, and it took everything I had to not jump in my car and follow her. Purely selfish. That's what I am. There's nothing I can give her, nothing I'm willing to give her, more than what we've been doing. That's not fair to her in any way. Yet, I want to keep her in my office so I can breathe her in, feel her closeness. I want to sneak away for a few hours with her wrapped around me, and just enjoy being with her. But if I do, everything else will fall apart. "What's up, G?" Barrett sits in the chair previously occupied by Ford. He twists his head as he considers just how right Ford may have been with his interpretation of my demeanor. "You are pissed off." "Nah," I say, drumming a pen against the table. I'm fine." "Talk to me. What's happening? Something with Ford?" When I don't respond, he snickers. "Oh, I see. You don't see shit." "Oh, I think I do, little brother." We stare at each other across the table, him laughing, me glaring. "Just to be clear, I may be in Atlanta most of the time now, but I still talk, specifically to Link, so I know things. If Lincoln's giving you information and you're taking it, you aren't nearly as smart as I give you credit for. Let's see how credible my sources are. I get one guess, all right? Barrett, I warn. Is it Mallory? I shrug. I've seen her. She's hot. I shrug again. Ford also chipped in that she was really smart, and believe it or not, Dad likes her. I shrug for a third time, but this time with a warning shot. Barrett laughs. Ford also said if you weren't eyeing her. Enough, I shoot, sitting up and clasping my hands together on the table. I was only kidding. Ford didn't say that last part, but I knew if I said he did, I'd get a true reaction out of you. Ugh, you are such a fucking politician, I say, relieved that Ford wasn't seriously looking at Mallory. As the relief lifts off me, I slump back again. Barrett, I wince. I'm in trouble. He leans back in his chair, kicking his feet up on the table, looking all smug. Mom will kick you for that, Lincoln blasts, coming in the room. Trust me, I got smacked yesterday for something pretty similar. We all laugh as Lincoln grabs a seat next to Barrett. As we settle down, I realize they're both looking at me like I'm a suspect in some investigation. Suddenly, I feel very outnumbered. So, what are we talking about? Lincoln asks, blowing a huge pink bubble and letting it smack against his face. Your happiness is annoying, I say. That's what good pussy will do for you, G. Try it. We were just talking about that, Barrett notes, smiling smugly at me. Ah, so he has been tapping that, Lincoln exclaims. Ford said, shut up, Lincoln. Graham was just about to ask me for advice. Barrett tells her brother. No, I wasn't. Good thing I stopped by then. I feel like this is my area of expertise, Lincoln says. Women are my thing. I mean, look at it. I'm the one that's engaged and a little Andrew on the way. Bring it, G. I don't need your advice. So we'll give it to you without you asking, Barrett quips. Does that make you feel better about it? I groan, putting my head on the table. You go first, Lincoln tells our brother. We'll save the best for last. Lincoln, you're still on a thin fucking line over this wedding bullshit. I can't help it you don't have balls, Lincoln sighs. Ah, when I see what I want, I go for it. I'm not sure what happens, but I hear a scuffle and the two of them start laughing. When I look up, they're looking at me. Okay, G, what are the problems with Mallory? They're both looking at me, their gazes affixed on my face. There's no way out. I'm as stuck in this situation as I am in the one with Mallory. Only with this one, I see a way out. It's going to be painful and potentially humiliating, but there is a way. Sucking in a breath, I say. The problem with Mallory is there isn't one. Neither of them respond immediately, and that annoys me. Are we done here? Nope, Lincoln says. So, let me get this straight. She does like you, right? Not saying you aren't all... Knock it off, Link. Barrett laughs. What's stopping you, Graham? It just won't work. I told you I have tips to fix that. Lincoln winks. They also make these pills. I sigh. Ugh, look, guys, I appreciate your desire to help. I do. But I don't need help. I just need to figure it out. Barrett leans against the table, his watch clinking against the wood. When you meet the right one, it's never easy. There were a number of women I was with, and it was so fucking easy, he says. They did what I said. They had the right last name, or were on the right track to add to my persona for public office. Or they wore black fishnets. Lincoln grins. And that, Barrett says, pointing at Lincoln, is how you know they aren't the right one. True? Lincoln takes off his hat and twists it around backwards. What Barrett's saying's true. With Danny, it wasn't easy either. Hell, it's still not. She tells me when I'm wrong and sets me straight. And then we had the whole baseball thing. Shit is complicated. The key is wanting to figure it out instead of just replacing them, Barrett says, smiling at Lincoln. It's when you'd rather take all these problems, all this headache, and fight for it because when you imagine another woman's perfume on your skin or someone else's smile looking back at you, you can't. Lincoln smiles at me. Someone told me once that maybe I couldn't have the job and the girl. Maybe you can't have this delusion that it just won't work and whatever that fucking means, which is stupid, By the way, and the girl. You're going to walk away with one of them, G. Your dumbass excuses or Mallory Sims. You pick. The door opens and Ford and Huxley walk back in. I've never felt more relieved to see a kid in my life. This isn't over, Lincoln warns. Did you have fun? Barrett asks Hux.
Yeah.
Are you cheating on me? Lincoln asks, grabbing Hux by the arm and giving him a quick hug. How are you, buddy?
Good. Hey, I heard you were having a baby. I was thinking, if you want to name your kid after me, I'm okay with that.
I'll pass that along to the boss, Lincoln laughs. All right, guys, I need to get back to the office. Ford, I'll get that final insurance paper faxed back before the end of the week. As soon as that's in place, I think we're good to go. Thanks. Now you get some puppies. Lincoln chokes, looking at Hux. Puppies. You go buy yourself a new puppy, Graham. We all laugh, Huxley looking confused as I walk out of the farm. Chapter 22. Graham. Mallory's seat is vacant when I enter our suite at Landry Holdings. Her phone and keys are in a clump on her desk, wrappers from some kind of candy in a heap by her keyboard. I can't resist. Picking them up and tossing them in the garbage, I head to my office. Door left open. I try to focus on the contract in front of me, but every time I hear a sound, I look up to see if it is Mallory. It's some Pavlovian dog bullshit, and I hate that I'm to this point with her. Mulling over my brother's words on the way over here, I know they're right. This is going to end one way or the other. It always does. It's the natural progression of things. Mallory deserves more than this. She should have the world. Someone she can love and mean it. She needs a relationship in which she can fall in love like Allison or Danielle and be safe in it. Besides, I couldn't watch her decide she loves me, then realize she doesn't. I wouldn't survive that. I've avoided her today. She's avoided me too. Getting to the end of this might be easier and less of my decision than I thought. That should afford me some relief. Instead, it just winds up my anxiety even worse. She comes in the suite. Cellophane crinkles through the air and I laugh. She's such a fucking mess.
Hey,
she says, poking her head around the door.
I'm going to take off, okay?
Is it 5 already? I ask, looking at the clock.
It's 5:30, actually. I stayed over to finish something up for your father.
Really? I didn't know anything about that.
It's no big deal,
she says, waving me off.
But I do need to get going.
Do you have plans?
I have yoga.
She steps inside my office, and I almost choke. Skin-tight pants are stretched over her curves, while a white shirt hugs her top.
Are you okay?
Fine, I say, wheezing. Clearing my throat, I imagine her at dinner with Keenan. Could I ask you a favor?
Sure. I wanted to talk to you anyway,
she says, pulling her eyes away from mine. My stomach fills with dread. Heavy, foul, infuriating trepidation. What about? You can come in if you'd like. She considers it for a good bit before taking the steps to the chair across from me.
After today, Ford's company will be good to go for the most part. I'm just waiting for you to sign the insurance paper, and then I'll get it faxed back.
I scoot a sheet of paper across the desk. I signed it. It's done. I'll fax it, though. It has to get there by 6 or the offer is void, and we'll have to start from scratch again.
I'll send it,
she says. It has to be there before you leave. If not, we won't be guaranteed that rate, and we need that rate to hit budget.
Do you trust me?
She grins, taking the paper. I look at her warily, but she's right. I do trust her.
That being said,
she says, clearing her throat.
I'd like you to replace me as soon as possible, preferably.
There is no sunshine in her face, no ease that I'm used to seeing, and that winds the dread even tighter.
Things between us are too complicated for me to keep coming in here every day. I mean, you... We...
She looks at me through her thick lashes, begging me to help. I understand. The air moves between us, as heavy as the dismay I feel. And I want to reach for her, but that's the problem in and of itself. I don't want you to go. Can I say that?
You can, and I don't want to go, for the record.
She sighs.
It's too hard to come here, and I'm not even making a pun this time.
She smiles weakly.
I never should have crossed the line with you because we worked together so well, but I did.
I think back to all the times we crossed the line and realize the most serious ones weren't the times I was inside her body. They were the times I was inside her mind, when she was burrowing herself inside my heart. That's what got us to this point. It's why this conversation feels like I'm being suffocated. If it were only a physical thing between us, I'd manage. It's not. It's becoming so much deeper than that. I did too, I admit. She nods.
I know a girl, actually, that might be a good fit. I can get a resume, if you'd like.
But she won't be you, I think. This is for the best. I know it, even though I can't help but hear the scream inside my brain, yelling at me to talk her out of it. Are you sure? I don't want you getting yourself in a situation because you leave your job. I can transfer you. You suggested that before, remember?
Yeah, but I really think I just need a clean break from you, Graham. You're kind of like crack, and I need to go cold turkey.
I granted her analogy, but there's no happiness in my smile. I'll write you a shining recommendation, I promise. I could even help you find another job. You would be an asset to anyone that would be smart enough to hire you.
Thank you,
she whispers. I force a swallow. So, my favor?
Sure. Shoot.
I can hear nothing but white noise as I fill my lungs with air. Lincoln is getting married this weekend. It's at the farm. I watch her eyes widen, anticipation written all over her pretty face. Would you do me the honor of being my date?
Graham,
she says warily. You're going to leave here soon, and let's be honest. I probably won't see you again. My jaw clenches as I say it, but I press forward. You'll go live some other life, and I wish you the best with it, Mallory, I do. But since we're stuck together for a little while longer, let's make the best of it. What could it hurt? I know the answer. It's only going to make it hurt worse in the end. But I'm willing, for the second time in my life, to take the hedonistic approach.
Are you sure?
She asks.
It's your family, and a wedding at that, and I...
What? She shrugs. And you'd be my date, and I'd be honored to have you on my arm. When she doesn't agree, I lean forward. Don't make me go alone. My brothers won't let me live it down. Slowly, inch by inch, her face gets a glow of that sunshine I miss.
When you put it like that, I suppose I could help you out.
There's one more part. There isn't. That was it. Just the wedding. But seeing how easily she agreed, now I'm going to press my luck. There's a golf outing with my brothers the day before. We're all going. It'll be a nightmare, but it's what Lincoln wanted to do. The girls of my family are going to the clubhouse and having a shower for Danielle. I thought maybe you'd like to go on my behalf.
What? On your behalf? That makes no sense, Graham.
Yeah, I say, thinking on my feet. My mother will be there, both my sisters, Allison and Danielle, and a couple of her friends. I thought it would be nice if you went. I know it would mean a lot to Lincoln, too. The last bit is a stretch. Lincoln won't care. He's only worried about Danielle and making her happy. Bingo. Danny isn't from here, I say, laying it on thick. She doesn't have a lot of friends here, and I know Lincoln really wants us all to come out and support her.
I don't even know her,
she points out. Yeah, but she's heard us all talking about you. I gulp and prepare to wind a little more truth to this. It would mean a lot to me. She sucks in a breath, warring over her decision. Please?
Fine,
she exhales.
I'll do it.
Great, I'll...
Not so fast,
she says, waving a finger at me.
I'll go on one condition.
And what's that?
You go to yoga with me tonight.
Mallory, I groan. Be reasonable.
I think this is very reasonable. I'm considering accompanying you to a wedding and a bridal shower for someone I don't even know. That's a lot I'm giving you, Graham. You can certainly give me an hour of yoga.
I don't yoga.
You'll yoga just fine.
She stands, nestling her hand in the crook of her hip. She knows what she's doing because she smirks.
You'll need to be at the studio by 6.
Like the decision has been decided. She takes the insurance papers and bounces to the door.
Oh, and Graham?
She looks coyly at me. Yes, I ask.
Don't be late. Mallory, I have no idea why I do this to myself. Laughing out loud, I correct my inner monologue. I do know why I do this to myself, at least this time. I want to see Graham Landry relaxed. He's been going so full tilt with all the things on his plate that I want to give him a few minutes away from the office. Just a piece of time where there's nothing to do but be. Factoring in that I might see some muscle, and if I'm lucky, some sweat, doesn't hurt either. Stretching out for the last 30 minutes, I feel nice and limber. Everything is tingly, but that probably has nothing to do with the moves I've been holding, and more to do with the headlights suddenly shining in the front window of the studio. I'm aware. I'm an addict, and I measure my drugs in grams, just like anyone that has an insatiable craving for something. I want to hoard the remaining moments I have with him because once it's over, it's over. It has to be. I can't take a gratuitous huff of his stick from time to time. My breath catches as he walks in the studio, dressed in a pair of black workout pants that, as opposed to most men, fit him semi-snugly. Like his suit pants, only not. Only, quite possibly, better. A sleeveless black shirt covers his torso, his arms on display for my gratification. He glances around, biting his bottom lip.
So this is a yoga studio?
It is. I pop up on my bare feet. Ever think you'd be in one?
Nope.
He gives me a megawatt grin, tossing the gray duffel bag on the floor.
Shoes off?
Please. I watch as he casts his shoes off and socks, and then pads across the floor into the mat I have laid out for him next to mine.
I hope you're happy,
he says, looking uncomfortable.
I left a stack of papers unsigned to be here.
You must really want me to go to that wedding, I tease.
Something like that,
he mumbles, turning in a full circle.
There are mirrors everywhere. This studio could be used for another purpose if you follow me.
I smack his arm, making him laugh. Focus, Graham.
Okay, okay. What first?
Just sit and stretch out. Get loose. He sits and looks at me. Don't act so excited, I say, sitting next to him. You'll wear out all your energy before we get started.
I'll try to rein it in.
He mimics my movements. For someone in such great shape, he's as stiff as a board. It's almost comical, but I don't comment on it. I just enjoy having him near me outside the office. Besides, he's clearly out of his comfort zone enough without my prodding.
This is yoga?
He asks, stretching one arm overhead.
This is stupid.
I hop to my feet and get behind him. No, I say, taking his sinewy arm in my hand. This is yoga. I turn his palm and pull his arm farther out and up.
Oh, fuck.
He grimaces.
Easy there, tiger.
See? You yoga just fine. I take his other arm and manipulate it to the other way. How does that feel?
Wonderful.
It feels wonderful to me, too, to have him in my hands, to be able to touch him and have a reason. Let's downward facing dog.
I hope that's a pseudonym for doggy style.
No, I laugh, taking a big step away from him before I rip off my clothes and bend over in front of him. This. I pose in an inverted V and look at him. Do this.
Nah.
He grins, sitting back.
I'll just watch you. The view is phenomenal.
I fall to my knees. The deal was you do yoga, not watch me do yoga.
I'm here. I yogaed.
No, you stretched. Kind of. I flash him a look. Your body is so stiff.
I thought you liked me stiff.
We grin at each other, but the longer we hold it, the heavier everything suddenly feels. A chasm has been dug between us, a crater we can't overcome. Things aren't as easy as they used to be.
I'm sorry, Mallory,
he says, sitting upright. His arms over his bent knees, he looks at me. It's okay. I pop up in a plank and focus on my breathing. And we both know what it is. I drop onto the floor, facing away from him. And what it's not.
I wish I could be something different.
No, don't, Graham. You're brilliant how you are. He moves to the front of me so I can't look anywhere but at him.
Can I tell you something?
Sure. Unless it's something like you don't want me to go to the wedding because Joy has already committed to letting me borrow a dress. That's no easy feat, my friend.
I didn't consider you didn't have a dress.
Oh, yeah, I do, I lie. I just wanted hers.
I could get you one.
He offers, and I could not wear it. He chuckles. Taking a deep breath, he slowly looks at me.
I want you to know the real reason things between us will never be anything.
My throat burns as I force a swallow past the boulder-sized lump. I think we already discussed that.
I only gave you a part of it. The easy part to admit.
Graham, there was nothing easy.